Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CHESS conference call hosted by UniCredit. For the duration of the conference, your lines will be muted. However, there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the presentation. I am now handing over to your host of today's conference, Barbara Seidlova, to begin. Please go ahead, Barbara.
Good afternoon or good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce today's speakers. As usual, I have Alan Svoboda, Executive Director for Sales and Trading here, and Martin Novák, Chief Financial Officer. Now I'm handing over to Alan to start with the presentation.
Hello, everybody. I'll first introduce the financial highlights and key events in CHESS Group in 2010. Then Martin Novák takes over, also presenting the new vision and financial results, and I will wrap up our presentation part with our trading position and information about consumption development and market outlook. So if you can look at page 2, where you see the financial highlights for 2010, the earnings before interest and tax and depreciation amortization went to 89.1, so that is 2% decrease year on year, whereas EBIT decreased by 4.6% to 65.1 billion Czech crowns, and net income ended up at 47.2 billion. So that's the official results for 2010. We have published today also the guidance for 2011, which you see on the next page, where we provide guidance on three key financial variables, EBITDA, EBIT, and net income. And for EBITDA, we see the target to be 84.8 billion, i.e. 5% below 2010. And the other numbers you see on page 3, EBIT 59.1, and net income 40.1. The positive factors that support this guidance are mainly further increase in the nuclear generation of our current nuclear fleet. That is the continuation of the program 15 terawatt hours from Temelín and 16 terawatt hours from Dukovany to be completed by 2012. It's also increase of generation from our wind farm in Romania, which is the largest onshore wind farm, which to a large degree should be completed in 2011 and partially is already up and running. It's also a contribution from the photovoltaic power plants that we built last year in the Czech Republic, and growing contribution from foreign acquisitions, mainly Albania, and also some regulatory corrections from the past years, mainly 2009. On the negative side, we are affected this year newly by the so-called gift tax on emission allowances, which will eat about 4 billion of our net income, and also some further decrease in power prices on year-on-year basis, reflected in our previously published numbers on the locked-in price levels for our own generation, where for 2010 it was baseload equivalent of 54 euros for the Czech market, and for 2011 it's 52 euros. And also another factor of similar weight, like the electricity prices, is also the continuation of Czech crown appreciation against euro, which we are also hedging on forward basis, but obviously the hedging results are on a decreasing path, similar to the electricity prices that we have seen over the last 2 years. We are, as a Czech economy, we are getting out of the economic crisis with fairly robust GDP growth and economic growth and power consumption. Also, CHESS as a utility survived the economic crisis very well with net income in 2010 compared to 2007 being one with pretty much the highest contribution, or second to the highest contribution on the comparison with all the other utilities. So there you see that we have done a pretty good job in taking measures to mitigate the impact of the crisis and growing profits better than most of the other utilities during the same time. Also, our foreign acquisitions provide growing contribution to the overall financial performance of CEZ Group. You see that by 2010, almost 40 billion Czech crowns were contributed to EBITDA on a cumulative basis from our foreign acquisitions. We are over-delivering against the original valuation models on almost all our acquisitions. That's also due to the fact that we made these acquisitions early on without any strategic premiums that are followers paid, and therefore we are in a much better situation vis-a-vis some of the other entrants to our region. Recently also we integrated the acquisitions made over the past 1 or 2 years, namely Mibrak, Ark Energy, including Sedash and Albania. And in our financial projections we see continuation of the growth of contribution from foreign assets and foreign companies. During the crisis, we made also a very wise decision to head forward. The years 2009, 2010, and partly 2011, it helped us to deliver a very solid performance for the past 2 years, even at times when power prices dropped significantly. On the short-term basis on spot markets, and that protected this forward hedging protected significant amount of profit margin and helped us also to secure the rating A- from SAP due to the robust balance sheet and also robust financial and economic performance of CEZ Group. And this is very good news given that many other utilities were forced to divest assets or change their strategy in a much more drastic and much more urgent manner than we have adopted. And since we want to react to a changing situation on the market, we don't want to just be a pure commodity player. We have come up with a very ambitious new program called New Vision that Martin will introduce.
Hello, everybody. So I will guide you through New Vision and our financial results and then hand over back to Alan to tell us something more about our commercial position. So when we look at the first slide, so that should be pretty much a summary of our future in following years. And basically, we can split it into three horizons. First horizon, which is on the left side of the chart, is actually zero to or now through year three from today. Basically, it's about exploiting our core business, making even further improvements in our operations, consolidation, efficiency, risk management, possible potential divestment. Second horizon, which is 3 to 5 years from now, is actually about developing new growth opportunities. Of course, we will be working on opportunities these days, so that they can be actually launched or taken in 3 to 5 years time. So basically, it's about increasing share in our regulated assets, which we always like, both distribution and heat business. And also increasing share in standard assets like liberalized assets. Future, the distant future, which is horizon of 2020, is about creating future markets. So it is about new technologies, future motion platform that is actually our I would say green side of our business. Investment into R&D and development of knowledge that we will need for this move, and a few pilot projects. We are already working on smart region, on cogeneration, and those are the areas where we think we can benefit from in the future. When you look at next slide is actually very identical to the one that that you saw, and it basically says that we have split those three horizons into two buckets. First two horizons, which means 0 to 3 and 3 to 5, is actually now part of something that Alan already mentioned, and we mentioned, I think, in November on our press conference and such a call that we had and where we discussed our 9 months results. And it's called New Vision, CHESS New Vision. And the right column is actually about the future motion. On the next slide, you can see actually the monetary or money that are behind those two first slides. So going from historical growth, which was 2004 through 2009, let's say, when our company has grown significantly, getting us into stabilization period and then future growth, we wanted to define how much this would bring between now and 2015. And basically it would mean that our CapEx will be set at a level of 311 billion Czech crowns, and our free cash flow will improve by 36.1 billion Czech crowns between now and 2015. On the next slide, you can actually see the CapEx part of it. So it is a 311 billion in basically projects that are either committed or even being worked on. For example, retrofits of our three power plants in the Czech Republic, of the coal lignite power plants, or the projects that are not far from being launched that we have in the pipeline. One of the significant CapEx outflows this year and next year will be also Fontanel Kozelac Romanian wind farms that we are successfully building. You can also see on the right side projects that we have halted, which is a few power plants in Slovakia, Bulgaria, and Poland. We have also not entered into some projects like sale of Steag, Gesso, and so, privatization of Enea and Energa, and so on. And we departed from a few countries where we felt the potential was fairly limited. So this is the CapEx plan for following 5 years. Of course, it can change based on the conditions on the market, but so far we believe that this is something we would like to do. Just to put you into perspective, even during this period, investing 311 billion Czech crowns, which is something like, below $20 billion, something like $17 billion, if I can calculate it roughly in my head, this is really still significant investment program. Our assets today are something about 560 billion Czech crowns. So adding another 311 in a relatively short period of time is an ambitious goal. What are actually the priorities? What about the new vision, the 36.1 billion part? Where does it come from? So it's coming from basically five streams. And this is how it is organized internally. International stream, generation and mining, sale, distribution, and of course, support functions. Now on the following slides, you have actually each function or each part, each segment of our business that is part of the new vision listed. And you have a few basic lines of information about what it means. Generation mining is very important. It's increasing capacity, safety, and lifetime of nuclear plants. So basically, we do continue with the program of 15 tera in Temelín and 16 terawatt hours in Dukovany that we have started as part of the efficiency program. Completion and construction and renewal of the conventional plants. So those are the three plants in the Czech Republic. Optimization of coal portfolio in general. Optimizing operating expenditures of plants, or I would say further optimizing, and development of regulated assets, which is heat business distribution as well. distribution on next slide. So it's mainly heat business actually in the regulated generation. Distribution, there we look at efficient management of investments into distribution network, making sure that we always get interesting return on our investments, which is the case in most of the countries, especially in the Czech Republic. Optimization of expenditure on network maintenance, that's of course a very important factor, and increasing the availability of the distribution network, mainly outside the Czech Republic, of course. Commercial part, our ambition is to beat the monkey strategy on the electricity market, and this is one of our goals so far that we had, and we have even stretched it even further. Stabilization of customer portfolio, especially in the Czech Republic, maintaining strategic share on the electricity market, and then developing gas sales in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Alan will talk about gas. It's a very successful business. It has picked up very, very quickly, and Alan will tell you more about it in his part. And last part is actually about international business. So speeding up repatriation of finances, basically dividend policy. We have started paying dividends from our acquisitions, and we will continue doing so in the same pace. Cost optimization, of course, is a matter, especially in the newly acquired companies like Albanian business, where we have succeeded to turn the company from red numbers into blue or black numbers on EBITDA level. Further information is about the long-term future, which is around 2020. And it is definitely about investment into renewable sources of energy, because we can see that those assets, however, we may think they may bring issues in the future into entire economics of power business. We definitely don't want to miss opportunity to invest into those sources of energy, and that's what we do in Romania, but also that's what we have done last year in the Czech Republic with photovoltaic investment. A development of nuclear energy, we will be by 2020 not far from commissioning two new units at Temelín, construction of CCGTs, and future motion initiative. Then what are priorities actually for 2011 when we talk about something that is not such a distant future? We would like to finalize tender documentation for a new nuclear plant in Temelín. The winner of the tender should be announced in 2013. We will upgrade one of the units in Dukovany to 500 megawatts. So this is in accordance with the plan to upgrade those all four units. Each of them is 440 megawatts, and I think this one will be the second one to be upgraded. We have already upgraded one 2 years ago. Development of business activities in the field of small cogeneration and heat. This is a very new business for us, not heat, but small cogeneration definitely is. We have set up a partnership with a company that is already long-term investor into cogeneration units. They are also developing them themselves and have a lot of know-how. So this is our partner in a joint venture, and the company is called TEDOM, which is a Czech business. Gaining significant market position on the gas market. Gas is definitely a place where we can grow, both in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, with little limitation. Acceleration of completion of Fontanel and Tunžák wind farms, and renegotiating the current contract. So we are looking into expense and cost side, also in the area where contracts are still in place and valid. We are coming back and trying to discuss the conditions, how they could change in our favor. Financial results. So now there's a section on numbers. So I will jump into numbers part. So you can see, and there is a more detail on revenue on the numbers actually than it was provided by Alan at the beginning. We have changed slides to our financial presentation. We made it a little bit more user friendly compared to previous previous press conferences so that it's easier to read and the highlights are actually easier to find. So hopefully it is the case. So you can see revenues went up. EBITDA, as already mentioned, went down by about 2%. Net income by 9%. Our operating cash flow has decreased by about 12%, and CapEx is a little bit higher than in 2009. Net debt has increased by about 8% to 134 billion Czech crowns. You can also see volumetric data on that slide. On the next slide, what are actually key drivers of year-on-year changes in net income? So our net income went down by 9%. From 51.9 billion Czech crowns to 47.2 billion Czech crowns. And you can see that on EBITDA level, it was 2 billion. So from operating business, 2 billion crowns decrease. 1.2 billion is a depreciation because we have more assets in place today due to our investment program. Other expenses or income, negative 2.8 billion Czech crowns, and I will talk about it later. It's basically very simply set one item. And income tax helps us 1.3 billion because of lower pre-tax income. So this is how we end up with net income 47.2 billion, which is above our guidance. Now, actually, we will go through those columns. So when you look at EBITDA on this slide, which was down 2 billion, on next slide, you can see actually the breakdown of those 2 billion. So what happened? And this is pretty interesting picture, actually. The by far the most negative factor that would normally, without other factors, drive our EBITDA down by almost 12 billion Czech crowns, so not 2, but 12, would be decrease in electricity prices. So despite the fact that the prices are low, that we are hedging fairly successfully, the decrease in the prices themselves would mean about 12 billion Czech crowns. However, we managed to catch up on the volume. So we made 2.7 billion Czech crowns due to selling more than in 2009. Another 2.2 billion is coming from emission trading with CO2 credits, and 1.2 is a negative effect or other effects coming from gross margin. So in total, our gross margin is 8.1 billion Czech crowns negative. Those four columns add to 8.1 billion, and there is actually an explanation to what happened on the slide. Nuclear provisions are lower by 1.4 billion. And probably the most important positive factor is actually gross margin from distribution and sales, 4 billion Czech crowns, mainly coming from 2.1 billion, which is increase in distribution tariff in the Czech Republic, and 1.8 billion coming from change of balance of uninvoiced electricity or change of estimated uninvoiced electricity. Mining went down by half a billion Czech crowns, mainly due lower offtake from CHESS, compensated by sales on the open market. And then the third factor was actually recultivation. So we basically started with investments into changing the coal mines into something nicer. Impact of new acquisitions, 900 million Czech crowns, and others about 300 million. So this is decline of EBITDA where we are able to compensate most of the negative impacts that came from the power price through other segments of what we are doing. When we look at EBITDA on a segment, so it's identical slide to what you have just seen, but geographically looking at it from geographical point of view. So those two billion Czech crowns or 2.2% are actually split between 6.1 in power production or generation and trading in Central Europe, negative, 4.1 positive of distribution and sale in Central Europe, mining is 1 billion negative, And then power production, trading, and distribution and sale in SEE, which is Southeastern Europe, basically the Balkans, is adding those 900 million that that are here as 0.3 and 0.6. On the following slides, we have actually we are discussing every column of this chart, giving more details and explanation. So on the first on the slide that comes after the chart, we can see EBITDA from power production and trading in Central Europe, which is a decline of 6.1 billion Czech crowns, and you can actually see what are the key drivers to that. Mainly lower electricity prices or gross margin, which is which I already mentioned, of about 8.1 billion Czech crowns, partly compensated by savings on the operating side of the cost, and also lower nuclear provisions, further heat generation, you know, 0.4 billion Czech crowns, and so on. Poland seems to show significant decline of 20%. However, this is driven by the fact that in Poland we have a long-term deal with the Polish government on compensating us on Elcho, which is one of our power plants. And there we received more last year than this year. And this is the main difference. The contract works in such a way that most of the cash flow is flowing to us in early years versus the late years, and I think this was at the beginning it was a 20-year compensation contract that guarantees the return on the investment. Then, on the next slide, we can see Southeastern Europe power production, which mainly or only in Bulgaria is the Varna power plant, where you can see a decrease from 0.5 to 0.3. It's mainly given by the fact of relatively expensive coal in 2010. Versus tariffs that are regulated for the part of the supplies that we sell, and tariffs, electricity tariffs, they don't reflect the higher coal prices. Therefore, we were not as successful as in 2009. Romania, significant change, mainly because of the first wind generators are working in Fontanel wind farm, and they ordered something like 300 million Czech crowns. Distribution and sales in Central Europe, so basically coming back to Czech Republic. As you can see from distribution, we made 34% more, or 3.1 billion, partly driven by the higher revenues allowed by the regulator, and partly 900 million in 3.1 billion change is actually driven by the change in invoiced electricity estimate, and the same, this is basically the main effect in a sales row as well. EBITDA by segments, distribution and sales, Southeastern Europe, a very small change, basically from, 20%, but in nominal terms, 300 million crowns, from 3.1 to 3.7, coming mainly from Romanian business and Albanian business. In Romania, the situation in distribution and sales is getting better. We can see the end of the recession there, so the demand is growing. In Albania, we can see significant change. We are making very fast improvements in the business, reducing cost. We have reduced number of staff from 6,000 to 4,500 very quickly without any material change to business, maybe even for better. And Bulgaria, last comment, the distribution tariffs from July 1 have actually not improved, and therefore there is a 300 million impairment versus 2009. Mining Central Europe, I already discussed mining, it's 1 billion down, mainly coming from lower deliveries to CES, partly compensated to outside sales. And there is a land reclamations cost of 800 million that was partly offset by the provision, but partly not. So that's where we stand. Now, next slide is actually on other expenses and income. We have discussed everything down to EBITDA now. Depreciation and amortization I already mentioned. So because of more assets being deployed in our business. Other income expenses are worth discussion. So interest expense or income is slightly higher, or expense is slightly higher, so because of the higher level of debt. Foreign exchange or FX gains, losses, and financial derivatives are 700 million, worse number than last year, but it's worth noting that in 2009, we had actually about 2 billion Czech crowns income, booked income from revaluation of MOL option, or simply said revaluation of MOL stock. In 2010, this effect was about half, so only 1 billion. So compared to when we take out those numbers, it's actually pretty consistent with 2009. Gain and loss from associates and joint ventures. In 2009, we had a 3 billion positive impact. And this was actually a goodwill that was in our favor, or negative goodwill, that was written up. And it related to our acquisition of GM coal mining company Midbrak, where actually the price that we paid was below 3 billion Czech crowns, below the value of the assets. Therefore, there was this one charge of 3 billion. And on next line item in 2009, there is negative 2.7, which is basically a write-off of goodwill in Poland. So those two should compensate each other, but they are accounted for on different line items. In 2010, in this line, other, negative 1.5 billion, you can see, or you can, as you can read actually in the notes on this slide, there is the most significant item, and that's what I mentioned at the beginning. Basically, the most significant item after, in other operating income expenses, is the write-off of goodwill in Bulgaria. So now we have basically no goodwill on distribution side and generation side, with Bulgarian business generating money, performing, but not generating as much as would be expected according to our model. We conservatively have written down both distribution and also generation goodwill. Generation goodwill mainly because of the fact of the limited lifetime of the power plant due to legal limitations. It looks like the lifetime will be extended, but we assume for goodwill calculation and write-offs that it's more conservative to write it off. So that's what we did. Nevertheless, in this line item, we received dividend from buying a share in Dalkia Czech Republic, which is our heat business operations, and also investment in a Prague heating company, PT, Praská teplárenská, where we received another 900 million Czech crowns in dividend that was actually passed to us. So that's why the impact is, or the effect on a year-on-year basis is actually 44% better than last year. And this is bringing us back to net income, down to net income. On next slide, very quickly, you can see development in fourth quarter. Our fourth quarter was actually better than fourth quarter 2009. It was better by about 9% or 1.8 billion Czech crowns, the biggest impact coming from distribution and sale in CEE, mainly coming from better tariffs in distribution and also changes in invoiced electricity. Developments of the first quarter also continue on next slide, where you can see the details that are down after EBITDA down going to net income. Everything that I just mentioned is basically there, including other income expenses, goodwill write-off of 2.8. We did it actually in that quarter in December 2010 versus in 2009. There was a write-off of Polish goodwill, but not the positive part of the goodwill in Germany, 3 billion, it was in the third quarter 2009, because that's where then it relates to the acquisition. Now, I think on almost the last slide, cash flow, a very important slide again, hopefully it's in graphical format, it's easier to understand than the tables that we were reporting before. You can see that our cash and cash equivalents are basically identical, with a company generating about 77.2 billion on free cash flow. We spent on our investments about 65.6 billion Czech crowns. And looking at financing part, we paid out 28.2 billion on dividend. So we needed to raise about 13.3 billion Czech crowns in loans to be on a stable level of cash. Important slides, mainly for bond investors. This is our liquidity profile. You can see on the first chart that we have about 30 billion mainly committed lines available. We are drawing only uncommitted lines, mainly uncommitted lines. Keep committed lines for the possibly bad times to come, which nobody thinks they should be coming, but nobody knows, really. So we have plenty of space in this area, and bond maturity profile is on the right down right corner at the bottom of the presentation, where you can see that in no year we had more than about 20 billion Czech crowns to repay, so basically one big bond issue every year. That's all for financial part, and I will now hand over to Alan to guide to take us through trading position of CHESS.
Okay, thank you, Martin. First, I'd like to highlight one good news that CHESS was selected the best electricity trader in Eastern Europe for the past year, and it reflects our growing presence in the region and growing trading volume. Over the last 4 years, we increased tenfold the turnover, and our trading department is now covering the whole Central and Southeastern Europe, and we are not only the best, but also the largest trader in the region. With regard to macroeconomic factors of the region, we always look at the consumption growth or consumption development in the Czech Republic as proxy also for the other countries. The growth last year was confirmed also in the last figures of last year, bringing the total to 3.8% year-on-year growth across all segments. If you break it down, it's almost 5% large wholesale customers and also around 2% growth in consumption of households. So both these numbers confirm that the economic crisis is more or less over, and the economy is growing and power consumption is growing, and it's growing faster than in previous years, meaning that the slowdown in 2009 should be covered, or we should sort of overcome the downside over the next 3 years or so. On the generation side, we have also used our generation fleet more than a year before. We not only increased production in our nuclear power plants, where it's part of this long-term program, 15 and 16 terawatt hours from Temelín and Dukovany, but we have also leveraged more our coal fleet. That was mainly due to the power prices being high also throughout the short-term trading intra-year and even on shorter-term basis. We expect to grow the volumes again this year. Last year it was 4% growth. This year we expect another 2.6% growth to the total of 64.3 terawatt hours from our Czech assets. This will again include another terawatt hour increase from nukes. So our target for this year is 29.1. We also expect that we will dispatch the coal plants more than before, reflecting again the improving power prices and higher availability of our fleet, given that some of the modernization projects have been completed in the meantime. With regard to our foreign generation assets, the story there is a little different. The most positive part there is growing generation in our Romanian wind farm, which is the largest onshore wind farm. About 200 megawatts were installed already. We should see another 300-400 megawatts extra capacity being built before the year end, and that all will contribute to the overall production of almost 1 terawatt hour from renewables in Romania from the wind farm park. Coupled with very likely confirmation of increased subsidies in Romania from renewable energy, this is one of the most important drivers of our foreign profitability growth. The Polish power plants operate more as a heat plant, so we focus on providing more heat offtake and also for burning more biomass. We don't maximize the output since oftentimes the margin is more attractive on saving the CO2 rather than dispatching the plants at a full load capacity, which we expect to remain the story also for 2011. In Bulgaria, Varna was dispatched more than planned last year, mainly due to the need to serve as a system backup in the Bulgarian power generation system. We don't expect that to repeat again for 2011. It's also not a desired mode of operation because the margins on the regulated supplies are just barely covering our variable costs. So we don't plan and we hope not to be asked to deliver power in those terms again for 2011. Next slide is about our hedging positions. You see that we accelerated forward sales for 2012. Fairly significantly. In fact, it all happened over the last few days where we used the increase in power prices linked to the oil hike in prices, and we locked up almost 30% of our position. That in total gives us basically 65% hedging for 2012. It's done at price levels that are somewhere in between 51, 52 euros, depending on how the final spread between Germany and Czech Republic will evolve, since a big portion of that hedging so far is done on the German market. We expect that the result should get close to 52, and if power prices remain strong, that should be pretty much the benchmark for us for 2011. If you compare it to the locked-in prices for 2012. If you compare it for what we have in the books already for 2011, those are similar figures. So from that angle, it's further stabilizing our performance for also 2012. We maintain position for 13-14 largely open for several reasons. Number one, we expect that the CO2 markets will gain some strength because companies will start hedging and therefore there will be need for buying CO2 allowances on the market. We also expect that the input commodities will continue growing and that should have positive effect on electricity prices. And also the spark spreads and dark spreads are so depressed at this moment that probably there could be room for positive correction as well. So that's why we keep our exposure to these years largely open, and we will opportunistically lock in prices when they jump up, as we have done for 2011 and as we are now doing also for 2012. With regard to currency hedging, you see that hand-in-hand with our generation offtake hedging, we also hedge currency exposure. A big portion of that is done through natural hedges, i.e. borrowing in euros. The remaining portion is done explicitly through transactions on the derivative market. And as Martin mentioned, one thing that became a priority for us is adding gas as another commodity to our portfolio, not only in terms of proprietary trading and as supplies to our gas plants that are in development, but also the commodity that we sell to end users. We quickly gained fairly attractive market share in the Czech Republic in the business segment. Larger and smaller customers in both segments, we have about 50% market share already, and the margin contribution is higher in gas than in electricity, so it's compensating our slightly decreasing share on the electricity side. Even more attractive story is in end user market in households, where the double commodity offering, basically providing power and gas together, it became very attractive proposal for customers. We already signed up 80,000 customers on the Czech market. We expect to accelerate that even at higher speed of sign up towards the year end. And we have also ambitious plans in Slovakia, where we entered just a month ago, and we already recorded first 10,000 contracts, and we expect to grow there on a fast track as well. And with that, operator, I'd like to hand it back to you to manage questions, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to remove your question, please press star followed by two. Our first question comes through from the line of Patrick Hummel from UBS. Please go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. Two questions, please, if I may. The first one regarding the new vision program. I mean, we have a quite good visibility how the free cash flow impact from the CapEx side will evolve over the next couple of years, and you line out the changes to your previous numbers. So I'm more wondering on the earnings side, can you give us a better understanding how these roughly 20 million or a bit more than 20 million on EBITDA should come in the next couple of years? And in particular, I would be interested how much you think you can achieve by 2013 already. And the second question is related to the carbon regulation post 2013. Can you just give an update, your latest thoughts? I guess the talks between the ministries are still ongoing, so I'm just interested in your latest views and assessments that you may have on the topic. And related to that, maybe you cut CapEx just basically 4 months after your last CapEx review in September. Has that to be seen as any indication in terms of carbon regulation that you're just preparing for a tighter balance sheet situation, i.e. full allocation, or is it, did you come across some projects that are just not worth doing in the current environment? Thank you very much.
Okay, so I will answer the first question on the 36 billion Czech crowns. So basically the first, between, you know, the change in our CapEx between September and today is partly or is included in those cash flow effects. And I would say it's about a little bit more than half of the impact is coming from CapEx cut. Remaining half of those 36 billion, I would say it's a little bit less than half, is coming from EBITDA, which means revenue generation and cost reduction. A few parts of efficiency program that we had in the past was actually transferred there, as I commented on, for example, making 31 terawatt hours or 31 tera goal for our nuclear plants. Now for next year we are planning 29, so we are moving there in that direction. So that's basically it.
And on the carbon regulation, we are now exposed to the gift tax on the allowances provided for free for 2011 and 12. This represents exposure of about 4 billion Czech crowns annually. This legislation is, however, valid only for those 2 years. So if this would in any form be extended, this would require a further legislation act, which is not being prepared at this moment. And the same thing applies also for the allowances to be provided for free after 2012. where Czech Republic is entitled for the transitory mechanism agreed in the European directive, and we have already submitted the investment plan to basically offset the free allocation by commitment of new investments. And the Czech legislation currently valid is calling for the government to submit the investment plans to Brussels for approval and providing the allowances for free. I know that last year when the government was very hectically looking for ways how to mitigate the impact of large commitment of subsidies to build up of new power photovoltaic power plants, they also considered not to provide any allowances for free, but that idea was not communicated anymore after they found a temporary solution that was adopted. So as of now, there are no plans to change the way how the government is going to treat the CO2 post 2012. And also we are also getting ready to make the investments and to receive the allowances for free. However, the government has the discretion to propose new legislation to the parliament, and the parliament, if gets approved, could change the environment for us. But as of now, there are no such proposals and no communication that would be public in that way.
Okay, and just to clarify on the EBITDA impact, I was just looking basically for because 13 is going to be a key year, of course, for CES. How much of the incremental savings under the new vision actually we're going to have already included in the 2013 results? Is that the lion's share out of the a bit less than half of the overall target, or should we expect the lion's share of the savings or efficiency improvements to come in 14 and 15?
It's less than half, so it's about I would say it is definitely less than half. About 1/3, yes.
1/3, okay. Thank you very much.
In are the heaviest years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Lawson Steele from Espirito. Please go ahead, Lawson.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, guys. Couple of questions, if I may. First of all, obviously, I take your point on slide 6 about the hedging being good. And obviously you're sort of lagging lower market power prices. So I guess when do you see the achieved prices stabilizing at market price levels? And perhaps tied into that, what are your forecasts for market prices and the commodity outlook? And I'm particularly interested really where it differs significantly from the future curves. So that's my first question. The second one is to do with your hurdle rate. And I'd be interested to know how it's changed in order to bring down your CapEx spend, and perhaps tied into that on page 5 where you talk about increasing EBITDA. I'd be interested to know what your sort of historical analysis of ROIC versus WACC has been in actual versus the original expectations of the projects. Thirdly, sorry, it's a bit of a long list. could you talk about your dividend policy and shed light on the current political environment and how that's impacting it? And the final question is, given that you're sort of projecting a sort of reasonably flat outlook for a few years, how are top and middle management being incentivized, and has that changed at all? Thank you.
So let me start with the first question with regard to our prices and convergence of our forward sales to market prices. In fact, there is no significant gap because we have already converged to levels of around 52 euros per megawatt hour of achieved hedging of from our generation. That's the number that is driving now 2011 figures and will most likely drive also 2012 figures. And it's not very far away from 2010 where we had, when we were entering the year, with a hedging value of 54 euros per megawatt hour. So what we have overcome during the crisis period is basically the downside risk that we would be not hedged, then we would have to sell at spot prices, which were those days very, very low. But prices of 52 euros are stable, and we expect that going forward the market will strengthen further. 52 is achieved price for the Czech market. We see a spread of around 2 euros to the German market, so we in fact talk about 54 euros Germany. And given that, as I mentioned, that we see room for strengthening the CO2 market, and we see that the input commodities will remain high or will even grow on the back of some of the world events we see now, that should have positive impact on electricity, combined with the fact that the spreads, the spark spread, dark spreads, they have gone down so much that there is probably room for upward correction as well. I think people are overreacting to the let's say expectation of what renewables can do with the market, and they were so far many more sellers than buyers. But eventually the balance must be reached of supply demand. So when the market turns more into a buyer's market, also the spread will probably the spreads will improve. So overall, as I mentioned, we use the spike now to lock in big portion of 2012 to reduce uncertainty, but we remain open in our positions for 2013-14.
Mm-hmm. Right. I will answer remaining questions. So hurdle rates, have not changed significantly. Of course, you know, the weighted average cost of capital reflects the situation on the markets, especially given the different levels of country risks. But I would say that now we have definitely enough interesting projects. Partly we are working on some of them physically, building them, for example, refurbishment coal plants of the Czech Republic, or building wind farm in Romania. So there is probably more projects that we can see than we are able technically to do. So what is definitely changing is that we can pick out of those that are available the projects that pass the hurdle rate, not only have the highest NPV, but also relatively lowest risk of delivering those projects. So this is how we look at them today. Dividend policy, it's 50 to 60%. There is no change there of net income. We did not, today at the press conference, we did not announce anything about estimated dividend. We will publish the proposal of the board of directors 30 days before the date of the annual meeting, shareholder meeting. That will probably be held in the second half of May or beginning of June, probably June. But no date has been set yet. You know, we'll be setting the date soon, but it has not been set yet. The incentives of people, still the same. People are incentivized. All people in the company are incentivized by EBITDA. So their all individual goals and achievements that they achieve are multiplied by EBITDA. If EBITDA is down by 10%, which means we would achieve 90% of EBITDA, most people would get no bonus. So for each percentage point down on EBITDA, they lose 10%. Top management is also incentivized through stock options, so there is no change there as well, and they get a certain amount of options every year depending on the position that they are in.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Jan Tomanik from Wood. Please go ahead, Jan.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Jan Tomanik speaking. I would have two questions. First, you wrote down some 2.8 billion Czech crowns from the value of the Bulgarian asset. Basically, we had the write-down last year in Poland. Now you looked at Bulgaria. Were there other assets that the valuation of which you had to be defending in front of your auditors this year? That will be my first question. And second question, it concerns sale of the Chvaletice power plant. It's some 800 megawatts of installed capacity. So if I recall correctly, some 5% of your overall installed capacity in Czech Republic, more of the lignite power plant. Could you give me some estimate of what EBITDA contribution the power plant had in 2010 and when you expect to close the transaction? So from when on this EBITDA contribution will be excluded from your group results? Thank you.
Answer the first question. 2.8 billion in Bulgaria, and again, as I said, was a pretty actually conservative decision on our side that we decided to take because the conditions in Bulgaria are not improving or have not improved in past years. So when you talk about defending it, we would have probably defended it if we wanted, but we decided really that this is a thing to do. Other assets for 2011, of course, nobody knows how the situation will develop, but we don't have that much of a goodwill left. Nothing that we tested, and we are testing goodwill once a year before year end, was subject to discussion whether to reduce it or not.
On quality, so far are included in our obviously reported results from last year and also guidance for this year. They are only secluded in a separate legal entity. We are in the middle of negotiations. I don't want to disclose very detailed information, but it's a power plant that is removed from the mines and was serving as a backup and system service provider, and obviously the biggest value of Chvaletice is the allocation of CO2 allowances. The overall EBITDA contribution, including annual cash cost, if you exclude that, is not a very significant number compared to the other power plants we have in our fleet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Philip Kovtchuk from Exane. Please go ahead, Philip.
Good afternoon. Three questions, please. So first on your debt level. Bloomberg was reporting that you are expecting a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 2.4, 2.5. For which year are you targeting this ratio, which seems quite above consensus forecasts until 2013? Second question on lignite prices. Has there been any progress in your negotiations with Czechol for the supply of lignite post-2012? And what alternatives do you envisage for the case that you do not reach an agreement? And third question, again on your New Vision program, what are the costs of implementation of this program, and will you pass a provision due to this in 2011 that is taken into account in your guidance? Thank you very much.
I will talk about net debt to EBITDA levels. I think it can be very well calculated from our CapEx program that is relatively intensive in 2011-12, even 13. So the levels of 2.5, including nuclear provisions. Without nuclear provisions, it's about 2.3, and it looks like we would be getting there by the end of 2013 based on our CapEx profile and, of course, estimate of power prices. If power prices get significantly better, of course, it would not be the case. So we will get to our optimal level at about that time, let's say three years horizon. Yes.
Second question was on Czechol and the update on our negotiations or court litigations. Activities are in progress. We are still trying to also find an out-of-court settlement solution. At the same time, we have upgraded our legal claims to basically by new claims filed recently to reflect on the changing situation, given that some time has passed since we filed the last lawsuit. We are basically claiming that we cannot complete the project anymore in the original setup, and instead we claim damages so that we can look for some alternative investment projects instead. We are still looking for an agreement how to supply Pocerady after the current contract will expire, since the lifetime of the plant spans all the way till 2025. And we still have, I would say, a lot of time left for these negotiations before we enter the period where there is no coal contracted, and we hope that we can find business rationale in the relationship in the meantime.
And the last question was about cost of implementation. Don't think that there is any significant cost of implementation. You probably think about reserves or provisions for severance payments. There may be some, but they will not be that significant. So I would say that cost of implementation is relatively limited.
Okay, thank you.
We can do many things. You know, many things are in the revenue area. For example, upgrading the nuclear units. We are laying off people, but the pace of it is not that big. You know, we are laying off a lot of people in countries like Albania, where you have a very cheap workforce, so it's not very material from the point of view of the severance payments, for example.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Nathalie Casali from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, Nathalie.
Hi, good afternoon. I have three questions as well, if I may. The first one is to come back on the new vision cost-cutting program. In terms of efficacy, if I remember correctly, you had a target of 21.6 billion cumulative impact on EBITDA by 2013 versus 2006. I think you've achieved 13.7 at the end of 2010. So that would mean that there's an additional about 8 billion of Czech crowns of additional EBITDA by 2013. What I'd like to understand is, with New Vision, is the one-third of the 18 billion by 2013 on top of Efektivita, in which case we would have about 14 billion Czech crown of EBITDA impact from cost-cutting by 2013 versus 2010. So if you can let me know whether my calculation more or less is correct. The second one is to quantify the impact of the solar PV tax, just to know whether this is included in EBITDA in your guidance. And then the last one is on CO2. I saw that the EC might look to set aside 500 to 800 million tons of CO2 permits in phase three. What's your view on this and the impact it would have on the CO2 price?
So I will start on New Vision. So Efektivita became part of New Vision, actually. So those things from Efektivita that were not finished fully are now included in part of New Vision, especially those on the revenue side.
Okay, so basically instead, but you said that you're going to do about one third of the 18 billion by 2013. So you're going to do about 6 billion. Of EBITDA,
you know,
upgrade, right?
I don't look at it from this point of view. So, you know, I would have to make a detailed calculation of how things add up together on this side. If you give me a few minutes, I will answer.
Sure.
And come back.
Yeah.
The question. I will answer about the solar tax. So, solar tax today, and solar tax is something else than CO2 tax. We discussed CO2 tax. And CO2 tax is there for 2012, and it's a roughly 4 billion Czech crowns, a bit less, per year into net income. We have from 2011 through 2013, so one year longer, we have something that is solar tax, which is a 26% on our revenue from the solar plants. And it is a withholding tax of about, in our case, it's close to 300 million crowns every year. So our solar plants make 300 million crowns every year less. which means they make about 1 billion Czech crowns a year instead of 1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin is looking for the new vision numbers, I'll answer the third question in the meantime. You ask about the CO2 measures the Commission is proposing. It's definitely proposed in the right direction. What the Commission is trying to do is to tighten up the system again so that the CO2 prices get to a level of basically abatement that is providing incentives for investors to abandon older installations and invest in new low carbon technologies instead. And by tightening up the system, this mean that prices will get to this level much faster and in a much more robust way. Obviously, this is an alternative to raising the bar to 30% reduction of emissions. I also heard the Commission is looking for ways how to tighten up the gradual steps so that in the coming years the targets would get tougher. Also, the Commission is considering what to do with new reserve for which is now allocated to individual countries, how to deal with the entry of new countries into the system or new industries. So there are different tools and levers to pull by the Commission to tighten up the system, and I think they are now looking into all of them to see how to achieve it and how to achieve also a political consensus on that. For me, it's a signal that we should expect that CO2 market will get tighter one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
CO2 prices will eventually increase.
So I will come back to New Vision. Looking at the details, we don't actually, when we talked about effectivity, we announced it in 2007 with completely different price assumptions and exchange rate assumptions as well. So the revenue parts of the project is now, we are not looking at prices of 70 euros as we would have think we would be looking in 2013, looking back in 2012 or even higher, but less. So we measure the new vision against original business plan that we had that we actually approved in 2009. So I would say it's very difficult to compare those two things together. What I can say that actually the incremental improvement of 31 terawatt hours of Temelín and Dukovany is not included in this number. So there are really cash flow impacts, which are about half, for example, delaying capex, and also other measures on both cost side and revenue side, for example, heat business and so on. So, it's not that easy, that simple to make a simple bridge between those two initiatives.
So if we think about just the impact that the program will have on your EBITDA, ignoring effectivitat, if we think about the impact in 2013 versus 2010 cumulative, are you saying that EBITDA will be 6 billion Czech crown higher thanks to this program?
Well, if we did nothing versus what we are doing today, it would be the case, yes.
All else equal?
Even yes, that would be it.
Okay, and then by 2015, the total versus 2010 would be 18 billion?
18 billion, yeah, 18 to 19. Yeah, 18 billion.
Okay, so this is all pre-tax.
It's 18 is after tax.
Is after tax.
Cash impact after tax is 18.
So the impact on EBITDA would actually be higher than that?
It would be a little bit higher, yes.
Okay.
But the tax is not that high. Tax is 15%.
Okay.
19, sorry.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Igor Kuzmin from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, Igor.
Hi. I just going back on the – most of my questions have been answered. I just have a quick question on the – just going back on the conversation on hurdle rates in regards to the performance of probably foreign assets and going back to the news which were released just recently regarding the regarding you having a more open mind and more open mind on Turkish assets. So the decision to be willing to potentially sell off those assets if there's any bidder with an interesting offer on hand. That decision, was it related to you reconsidering the potential IRRs on from these assets, or the reasons are somewhat different? And if they're different, can you comment on what those reasons might be? Thank you.
So I guess the key focus of the question is Turkey. In Turkey, we still consider that market to be one of the most attractive, both in terms of, let's say, market-based environment, where we don't see much distortion through different kind of environmental regulation and priorities given to different technologies and systems. And also due to just the pure growth in consumption and therefore need for further supplies. We also see quite favorable regulation of the regulated assets, especially now in a lately published decree. We see that the distribution assets are treated fairly and transparently. So the market is very attractive for foreign investors. That's why we entered, at the early stage of development. Our acquisition cost of the distribution company on multiple basis is the lowest. So there is the biggest upside now compared to the evaluations provided in latest transactions. Also, we entered in ARC Energy at times when the many projects were still not complete and many big projects in the pipeline were not yet developed to a stage where they represent a very tangible value. And now it's a portfolio that is fast growing, that is vertically integrated if we consider those assets, and represent a very unique position on the market. Given that we are in this position with a joint venture partner, we have to also pay attention to their priorities. And we agreed that if at this moment we receive a very attractive offer, basically pricing in all these upsides, all this extra sort of strategic premium for the position we have gained on the Turkish market, we would be willing to transact and take the capex and take the capital to other projects that we have elsewhere in Central Southeastern Europe. So it's a great opportunity to monetize on all the position build-up we have done successfully, and monetize on the market growth expectation. If that will be the case, we are pragmatic, and we would go for that cash out. If we don't find it sufficiently attractive, we will continue supporting the business because it's fundamentally very attractive.
Okay, thank you. And just one more follow-up question from me is, just as we stay on the New Vision program, the 2011 guidance, does it already reflect your expectations on the additional efficiencies and savings you might realize as part of the New Vision? So is it reflected already in the guidance for 2011, or there is a chance for those numbers to be eventually a bit better if it's a 1 or 2 billion of additional savings coming through the New Vision in 2011. Thank you.
It is actually reflected already in the numbers, you know, so I don't think that because of a New Vision that will get significantly better.
Okay, thanks. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Christopher Tornap from Bank of America. Please go ahead, Christopher.
Hello, good afternoon. Christopher Coupland here. Just a question on your 2011 guidance. I think you said earlier during the press conference that you see a 12 billion Czech crown impact on your profitability, partly because of FX, partly because of lower achieved power prices, and partly because of the carbon gift tax. A few questions on that. Is that post or pre-tax, number one? Does that therefore include your €52 guidance when you're talking about FX. I think it would always be more helpful if you gave us the achieved or hedged price in Czech crowns rather than in euros. So I wonder whether you can do that for us. Second block of questions, again, comes back to Turkey. Is the future CapEx commitment, if you're not selling, is that included in your 300 plus Czech crown CapEx program? And the third question, again, coming back to your new vision, just I think for me as an understanding, you're basically telling us that this is a new program. It replaces Efektivita, but it does not include the 31 terawatt hours from both Temelin and Dukovany. Is that right?
Yes. So last question, yes, that's right. That's a very brief summary of the link between New Vision and the old Efektivita program. In terms of achieved prices on the electricity side, yes, our guidance is built on the €52 baseload equivalent price achieved in forward hedging before entering the year. Obviously, the margin can improve as we further optimize on short-term basis the dispatch of our power plants and the buybacks from the market. So that's also typically the upside in our numbers, since in guidance we don't provide an explicit estimate on this possible upside. So so that's an element which will remain there to be seen then on quarterly basis as we report. Reporting in Czech crowns, yes, we hear the feedback, and I believe we can for the next time we can provide you the numbers also in Czech crowns to help you in your modeling.
Alan, on that question, if you're saying 52 for 2011, can you tell us roughly at what exchange rate this is locked into your books? Is it at current market rates or above 25?
The locked in rate is 25.5.
Okay. So between 25 and 26, depending on the timing of transactions that we have done. But, you know, it's fair to say 25-50.
Great.
So then about those, I will continue with the effects of those three times 4 billion. So 4 billion from power price, 4 billion from exchange rate, and 4 billion on the carbon tax. Those 4 and 4 billion, both for power price and rate, are on an EBITDA level, of course, pre-tax, so it's an EBITDA impact, partly offset by other positive impacts for about 4 billion. So about 4 billion translates from EBITDA on those two negative effects down to net income, of course, after tax. And another 4 billion is coming into net income from the carbon tax. So carbon tax is not accounted through EBITDA, but it's accounted below EBITDA. And this is very simply, roughly said, those 7 billion difference between 2010 and 2011 net income numbers.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question coming through from the line of Peter Dzieciolowski from UniCredit. Please go ahead, Peter.
Good afternoon. It's Piotr Dzieciolowski from Credit Suisse. I have one question regarding your net debt EBITDA and 2.5 ratio you mentioned about 2013-14. How are you going to decide on the nuclear investments and how much money you basically need until when if you consider such a project? Because that looks quite tight to me. And second question, because all the other questions were answered, was about you mentioned that you sometimes withdraw the power plant in Poland because the clean dark spreads are negative. Is this the correct? And do you see the clean dark spread negative quite often in the Polish market? Thank you.
I will talk about the first thing. You know, this is 2013 when we would be at about 2.5 billion, where we spent 2013-14, mainly 2013, where we have most of the capex. If you look at our capex curve, most of big capex outflows are in 2011-12-13. Past 2013, the situation starts improving significantly. And realistically, big cash outflows related to Temelin will come past 2015, because 2013 we will only choose the company to build it. And then, of course, the construction. Then you have a permitting part of it. Then you have a, and it will take some time. And then you have construction. So construction will come in the second half of this decade, rather than in 2013. So by then we will be again having enough space for continuing with the project.
And with regard to Poland, yes, we do optimize against the CO2 prices. But only with one of the two plants, it's with Kavina, with Elcho, we have a cash compensation scheme in place. So there the optimization is not that important. Also, the optimization can only happen within some boundaries, because if you would reduce production beyond, I believe, 70% of a normal year or previous years, we would not be entitled to the free CO2 allocation. So within those limits, we do optimize the dispatch of the plants. We expect prices to go up in the future due to several reasons. Number one, Poland will be turning from an export country to an import country due to closing power plant that basically reached the end of its lifetime. Also, the fleet is all running on coal, and coal is increasing in price, and more and more often we see the Polish miners to price their coal supplies to the foreign indices, so that should also lead to increase in Polish prices. So we believe that that there will also be opportunities for export of power from Czech Republic to Poland, and for us to make potentially a better margin on our plans, given that we have a long-term coal supply contract there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Eleanor Green from Argus. Please go ahead, Eleanor.
Hello. I would like to follow up on your hedging of 2012 generation. You said that a big portion of your generation was hedged in the German market. Can you say how much is hedged in Germany, and what are the potential risks of hedging your Czech production in the German market?
So we do have risk limits to how much we can hedge on the German market vis-a-vis direct in the Czech Republic. The liquidity typically comes to the Czech market later than it is in Germany. That's why we always start in Germany, and later on we convert the positions to the Czech Republic. We don't disclose these numbers in more detail to avoid that the market would turn against us. Typically what we see is that the spreads gradually reduce from something like €2 all the way down to just few cents on the spot market. So the longer we wait, the cheaper it is for us. Physically the capacity is there sufficiently with sufficient volume. The allocation of TSOs for this year were same or higher than last year, so no negative effect, and therefore we are now taking a bit more risk in rolling back the exposure from Germany to Czech Republic to reduce the cost, and we think this way we can further improve the locked-in price.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes through from the line of Florence Tag from MFS. Please go ahead, Florence.
I have two follow-up questions, actually. First of all, on the dividend, if I take your 2011 guidance of 40 billion of net income and take the high end of the payout, which is 60%, you get 24 billion Czech crown compared to the 28 billion that you paid this year. So are you basically saying that the dividend will be cut? And I know you can't say the level yet, but directionally, are you saying the dividend will be cut? And secondly, in terms of what you said on the CO2 and the debate on 2013, it seems, based on recent conference calls I had with members of the government, it seems like there's considerable debate still within the government, particularly between the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of the Environment, as to whether you should get your free credits in 2013. So it's a very different story from what you've been saying on the call. So I was wondering if you could, if maybe something's changed since my calls, or whether you could be a bit more specific about, you know, some of the assurances you've had from the government on that front.
So I will answer the dividend question. So just simply, purely mathematically calculating, 60% out of 40.1 billion, you would be coming to the right conclusion. And so far, 2011 dividend is so far away that we really don't change our target or payout ratio. I don't exclude it, but so far it is 50% to 60% of net income.
Okay.
Yeah, on the CO2, I probably can't comment on different rumors. I have to stick to official sources of information, and that is that there are no public statements from the government with regard to the changing of the legislation post 2012. And the government follows the legal act adopted about 2 years ago when it's obliged to submit the investment plans to Brussels. However, as I said, the government has the legislature to propose changes to the legislation, and the current government coalition has even control over the lower chamber of the parliament. So it's not certain, and we cannot comment on rumors because they change every day, and hard to distinguish what is valuable information and what is just a piece of information provided by journalists without knowing the background.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about the challenge in Parliament to the CO2 tax. Could you give us an update on that and whether, the MPs got enough signatures to successfully launch that challenge?
From what I know, the initiative is advancing further. So there is a group of MPs in the upper chamber of the parliament that want to ask the constitutional court to review whether the tax changes are according to the constitution, and whether they don't represent a risk to the government for international arbitrage. However, it's not yet certain they collect enough signatures to file it, but the initiative is still underway.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a final follow-up question coming through from the line of Philip Gottschalk from Exane. Please go ahead, Philip.
Yes, one follow-up question. So given that the falling power price and the CO2 tax have been well flagged in the market, and that the consensus is still somewhat above your guidance, where do you think consensus might be optimistic? In which divisions? Is it, for example, Southeastern Europe, or what do you think? Thanks.
Well, I think really the two big things in any guidance that we see that are most of the time deviating from the reality is the assumptions on power prices and assumptions on exchange rates. So those two things need to be really are the key to, I would say, good guidance. But generally speaking, it's difficult to say, because there is a big range of the estimates. So some of them are below, some of them are above. Alan wants
to... just to look at it from the other angle, we always provide guidance that it could be met and to be delivered, and that's something we want to stick to. What we just published represents, in fact, an overachievement in the guidance of at least 2 billion Czech crowns in EBITDA, because we fully covered in our performance the gap created by the renewables that our distribution company had to pay out, and will get the cash only a year later through the correction in tariffs that will come afterwards. So So we'd like to deliver against our promises.
Yeah, you know, our EBITDA was basically negatively impacted by 1.8 billion on the and that's how much we had to pay on photovoltaic support versus how much we collected from our customers in 2010. When we were actually giving guidance throughout the year 2010, we were always warning that there is this risk of 1.8 billion impairment. At the end, we managed to get on our numbers, and this effect will come into our books in 2012. So we believe that the guidance we have given today is something we should be delivering. Otherwise, we would not have told you today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a question from the line of Tanya Marklaw from Commerzbank. Please go ahead, Tanya.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just one more detail on the power price. Could you please mention what kind of premium you achieved in 2010 over the base load price and how you expect it to go forward in 2011 and beyond?
Well, first of all, we'd like to, after this one, take only one last question, given the time. And with regard to this question, it's a little difficult to simplify it to just a percentage figure because the way how we deploy our power plants is changing year on year. Some of for 2011, we are focusing more on providing system services, so our performance will improve in this area. And will mean a little lower margin contribution from the production of physical power. The rule of thumb that we use in the past that on top of base load price we get about 5% premium in the achieved deployment of the assets in total. That's something that we can stick to and you can use as a proxy for all those details.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions coming through, so I'll hand back to your host for any closing comments.
So thank you everyone for participating. As always, if you have some further follow-up questions, do not hesitate to contact Investor Relations. Thank you everyone and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the presentation is now concluded. You may now replace your handsets.